Tēnā koutou te whānau, this is the Māori Millionaire Disclaimer. For your information, this is not investing advice and it should not be taken as such. This is all general education for just general purposes. I'm here to help share my experiences and educate you guys as much as I can, but it is not financial advice, so please do not take it as such. Ngā mihi. Māori ora e te whānau, welcome back to a new podcast episode. I'm so excited for today. Today we are interviewing Sarah Kelsey. She is most well known for her incredible podcast, The One Up Project, which she actually interviewed me on last year. And we have been chatting for about a couple of years now, and I'm just so happy to be interviewing her. Funny story, actually. When she interviewed me about a year ago, I also interviewed her. And as you guys, if you guys are regular listeners, you'll know that I didn't know how to edit when I first started this podcast. And so I actually couldn't upload the recording because I didn't know how to, I had messed it up and I didn't know how to fix it. And so it's really cool to finally be able to interview her and actually have this go up. So thank you, Sarah, for being here. Sarah is awesome. She's a graduate with a Bachelor of Business in Accounting from AUT back in 2019. Currently, she's in Australia living the digital nomad life, and she's going to be traveling more, which I'm so excited to watch from Aotearoa. And my favorite thing about Sarah is her wairua. She genuinely has good energy. She listens with an intention to learn, and she is open-minded. She's a wahine atua, and I'm just so excited to have her on the show today. So welcome, Sarah. I'm so excited. Did you want to share a little bit about yourself? Ko wai koe, where are you from? And maybe a bit of your backstory of your journey, where you come from and what got you to where you are today.
Absolutely. Kia ora, everyone. Thank you, Te Kahu Kura, for having me. Honestly, such a beautiful intro as well, and have been so lucky to watch you grow from almost the very start of Māori Millionaire, I think. So I feel very lucky to have been there and to watch you now and hear you talk. It's like, oh my goodness, you've actually grown so much since, you know, the first videos you released and the podcast and everything, and it's just amazing. So proud of you and everything you've done up to this date. And I love your platform, I love your why, and very grateful to be here. So yeah, I can talk a little bit about myself and how One Up began as well, I think might be helpful. So I host a podcast in a community called The One Up Project, and that started over 4 years ago now as a result of not understanding anything about finance. So similar roots to Māori Millionaire in so many ways, where I was interning at a corporate accounting firm and someone was telling me about KiwiSaver. They're like, oh, have you done this? Have you invested? I was like, what are you talking about? Literally had no idea what they were referring to when they spoke to a KiwiSaver fund. And then I tried to figure it out myself, but it was so, so difficult to understand. And that's when I decided, right, I need to have some conversations with people about things if I'm going to get any of this sorted. And I was working in accounting, so it felt like logical that I should know about money, but weirdly, I knew nothing about it. And I think that's kind of a common misconception about accounting in general, and anything working with numbers is you somehow automatically have this understanding of how money works, but actually that wasn't the case at all. Started One Up, and then over time it's kind of developed with my own growth and my own development, and turned from making financial literacy more accessible to making conversations in general more accessible. So now my goal is to bring access to unheard conversations and try to challenge myself and challenge others to open themselves up to a new perspective. And so at the moment I'm working online, working from top of Australia in a place called Port Douglas, which is averaging like 30 degrees at the moment. So wish me luck for every day living here. So we're doing that, and then just trying to travel as far as I can get before the money runs out, and try to keep a consistent income while overseas, which is an interesting space for me to navigate as well in terms of how you actually do that. Because even though we've had COVID and people are a bit more used to working remotely, there's still a lot of hesitance around that and a lot of trust involved for building up a personal brand and a career around working remotely. So that's how I've been going at the moment and what I've been doing.
Oh, Sarah. Everyone, you guys need to give her a follow on Instagram or something for turning her fan off whilst living in 30 degrees. That is insane. That is crazy. I am so excited. So you went to Bali, was it last year? Or yeah, it was last year, wasn't it? How did this go, and what are some of the things that you learned on that trip?
Yeah, so I was in Bali for 5-ish months, and in between did a trip to Thailand and in Singapore. And that was great, but it was absolutely nothing like what I expected it to be. I think I had heard from so many people in my life, like, oh yeah, when you go traveling, especially solo traveling, you're going to have the best time. You're going to meet like friends for life. You're going to like all these incredible things are going to happen. And then when I got there, my first emotion was I felt completely isolated. I felt so lonely because it was the first time I'd traveled by myself to that extent, like new country. And I'd never been to a more developing country either before, especially not on my own. So I think there was some elements of culture shock, which I wasn't expecting or anticipating. Like I think I was just expecting I'd walk in and yeah, it'd be all sweet, all easy. But actually when I got there, I was like, now I'm questioning so many things about what I've seen and what I'm doing and how this whole situation is working. And that put me out of my comfort zone a lot. And I think that the experience overall was very testing and very challenging for me emotionally, because I initially thought I was going to move and like live there or travel around Southeast Asia for quite a while. But after being in Bali in particular for quite a long time, I realized actually, no, this isn't a place where I want to live. And I don't think I was anticipating all of the feelings that came up around there. And also being someone who was typically quite outgoing, I would have at that point described myself as someone who is more of an extrovert in the sense that I got energy from social situations. But then by the end of that trip, I felt like I had become an introvert because I was so a bit more like closed up as a result of kind of putting myself in the deep end. But at the same time, it helped me grow so much resilience and so much confidence, because when you are on your own, and this would relate to anyone who's had to spend a period of time on their own or doing things without the support of other people, you build up so much trust in yourself because you have to. And so throughout that journey, I was just building up all of this confidence in my own ability to do things. And it meant that when I got home back to Aotearoa, I felt so confident to do anything I wanted, really, and to just push forward with things because I'd had that experience where I had to do that. So it was a great experience, but I also feel very happy that I trusted my gut in knowing that coming home was what was right, especially at that time. And I didn't just try to push through for the sake of like telling people that's what I was going to do.
I really respect that and the ability to be able to change your mind. I'm also, as you'll know, going through that with like university and not really understanding like, should I keep going? Should I not? And it's like something that I think a lot of people really struggle with, actually, if you've told people your story, whether it's online or with people in your real life, that you were planning on doing something. And then for me, I feel like whenever I say, oh, I've actually changed my mind, you know, just the reactions are like, oh, why did you do that? Or you're always flipping floppy. Yeah. That's what my mum said to me. She's like, you're so flippy floppy, Kahu. And it's like, yeah, I changed my mind a lot. But it's also that I hate pushing through things for the sake of pushing through if it's not what you want, like, and that's probably my answer for uni. But I wanted to dive a little bit deeper and understand how you were able to make that decision for you. Like, was it a gut feeling? How did that go?
That is such a great question, because it was really hard, and I think it was a combination of things, but especially that confidence and that trust in myself I spoke about, like building that over time. It got to a point where I was like, look, I've been able to get myself from A to B, like travel in an airport by myself for the first time, like find where I'm living for the night, you know, organize all of these things which previously I would have relied on like other people in my life, friends, family, whatever, to help me with. I was like, I can surely decide what I actually want for myself. And I think trying to make that decision meant getting to the root of why I was feeling the way I was feeling. And so something just didn't feel right about living and existing within Bali full time. And I think that had a lot to do with some of the culture shocks I'd experienced at the beginning, and how coming from a much more westernized society, the way that you live in Bali is quite foreign. But as a tourist, you live very different to the locals. And I had a few moral challenges with that and trying to just get around what felt right to me and actually being able to separate the shoulds. Because when you look at things with hindsight, it's very easy to identify that. Like, I felt like I should stay because I told everyone I was going to, and, you know, it might reflect badly on me if I've said I was going to do something and now I'm not going to do it. But what I wanted was just to come home. And like, if I really boiled it down, that was all it was. And so I think it took being really honest with myself and facing kind of my fears of how I was going to be perceived, especially when you're doing this online. Like, you would know this a lot in terms of when you make decisions and you tell people online about it, when you publicize your life and publicize your decisions, it's even more difficult, it seems, to go back on those decisions, because now you've not only told your family and friends to keep you accountable, but you've also told like however many people watching your stories or your TikToks or whatever it is. And so you think, oh, well, I don't want to let anyone down. But ultimately, I think you get to this point where you realize that you're only letting other people down when you're not being authentic to yourself and how you feel. Like, when you're doing things for other people, no one's going to resonate with that anyway. Like, you need to do it for yourself and for your own communities. So yeah, that's how I came to that decision, I think.
That's beautiful, and being able to trust your desires and what you want. And I think it's kind of a life wasted if we spend it, you know, doing things for other people our whole lives. You know, we have such a, as much as it feels big and scary, our life, we really aren't here for that long in the grand scheme of things. So, you know, being able to do as much of what we desire and what we actually want is so important. So after you returned home, what was that like for you?
Yeah, that was interesting, because I had left the country I'd left Aotearoa hoping to get a job and work remotely. And I'd had one up, so there'd been some sponsorship opportunities throughout then, which had kind of kept me going throughout the time. But then we got to the end of the trip and I'd actually gotten a job. I'd gotten a remote job working for a marketing agency. And so I didn't have any need not to continue the trip. Like, I could have continued traveling, but instead I chose to come home. So I was lucky in a sense that I came home with an income rather than coming home and being out of money and being like, what am I going to do for work? I came home with an income. And so that was good. But I'd also spent all of my savings, like literally my emergency fund had gone. I'd been using some of my tax money to fund my trip, which was like a bad financial mistake. Like, I'd done all the stuff. Yeah. Like, I'd done all the stuff that was not setting me up in a way to help my future self. It was not building my financial foundations, which is something I always talk about. So I needed to rebuild, basically. And that meant living at home for 5 months. And then I ended up moving out of Tamaki Makaurau into Tauranga and into Mount Maunganui, which was good because it reduced my expenses in many ways. Not that the cost of living was that much lower, but the lifestyle you lived as a result was cheaper because you're traveling less, like everything's closer. And so you just are spending kind of less time and money on those sort of things. Plus I was working remotely, so I didn't have a commute. So I made a few lifestyle changes in order to build those financial foundations back up again. And that was probably the hardest part, was like the practicalities of actually getting back to zero and trying to rebuild that again. Emotionally, I felt exhausted. And I still don't know whether that is dramatic or I don't know. But I felt like just I didn't want to be around people. It was so weird. It was honestly so weird. I feel like I really turned into myself. I didn't want to be around people. I didn't want to be in big social groups. I just wanted to be alone or with one or two other people and with my close like whānau and friends who I felt comfortable around. And that was kind of how I was for almost an entire year up until this point where I've gained a lot more confidence. I'm still like quite not introverted, but I still value my alone time a lot. But I'm a lot better now. I have a lot more emotional resilience. I think like that trip really exposed me or helped me to confront things that I hadn't seen before in my life. And that was good because it reduced a lot of ignorance around like how other people live and how I live and how different that has been. And so I think that whole experience impacted me in subconscious ways. And so last year, it was all about financial foundations. It was all about rebuilding. And I did get to a point where I did rebuild, which is why I'm now in Oz. So feeling very grateful for that.
Okay. That's incredible. What a story. And to be able to reflect so deeply on your own situations and experiences that you've had. I also went on a solo trip once, only for a week, and I felt, you know, similar things of like, wow, what am I doing? You know, what happens if I mess things up? And I actually, I get, sometimes when I get nervous, I'll like spew or something. And I remember on the, before the flight, like when I was going to go on my solo trip, I like spewed and I was like, oh my God, I literally cannot do this. Like, I just couldn't think of anything worse than, you know, being by myself and having to do everything by myself for that time. So I can't imagine doing that for months, you know? So I'm so proud of you and your ability to reflect on those things and, you know, face those, I don't know, like, I feel like inner demons is maybe the way, like when you're by yourself for that amount of time, they just, you know, come up and things. So I'm so proud of you for that. I wanted to bit deeper on your money situation and how that has impacted your traveling journey. And I feel like in your 20s we have this big, I was watching this TikTok, I can't remember who posted it, but she was talking about being in your 20s and there's always this like big crossroads where it's like, you know, save for retirement and look after your financial future, buy a house, and then on the other side it's like you only live once, you know you've only got this amount of time to be able to,
oh God, was this,
you
know, Tegan?
Yes, that's right, that's what it was.
Yeah, I saw that. love her.
So yeah, you are, I guess for me, I love watching your stories and seeing how you're able to navigate these situations and just live authentically in the way that you want to. For me, it seems quite like a fun life. How are you able to kind of, and I know that for me watching it, it seems fun, and I know there are, you know, struggles and stuff you go through, but how do you kind of choose, like, weighing up those things of, okay, maybe traveling's going to cost more financially, but I get this, you know, enjoyment out of it. Like, how do you weigh that up and how do you decide what decision is right for you?
I really appreciate hearing your perspective on that, by the way, actually, because it's quite interesting, you know, living a life like this versus what the perception is of it. And there are a lot of pressures that can come with living like this in terms of the, like, your security and stability is threatened in so many ways from a financial perspective, even from just like a practical living perspective. But having the opportunity to live like this is a massive privilege as well that I don't take for granted. And it's something Jess and I, who I'm traveling with, we always talk about is there's, so in this book called Diary of a CEO by Stephen Bartlett, which is a great book, he talks about 33 laws of business and life. And one of the laws is make pressure your privilege. And we always kind of started off as a joke saying it, but now it's like become really serious. We were like, pressure is our privilege and we are blessed to be stressed. I know the saying is usually too blessed to be stressed, but we are blessed to be stressed because even just to have the opportunity to do something like this is rare. And I know not everyone gets the opportunity, the freedom, the choice to be able to leave a structured job, their family, their community, to be able to do something like this on their own. I don't have commitments or tie downs at home that would mean I would need to stay or be obligated to be a part of anything. And I think like that in itself is what allows me to have opportunities like this and have that freedom, which I try my hardest every day not to take for granted, because it is something that has allowed me to learn so much and develop as a person. And it's an opportunity that I know not many people have access to or can access. So it does come with its pressures, but it really does also help me to think about the fact that the pressure, that I'm just lucky to have this opportunity in the first place. And so the pressure is then a good feeling. The anxiety and the stress is like, okay, this is just an excitement and anticipation because I get the opportunity to do this. So let's actually use that privilege and that opportunity and that freedom to do something with it, to do something good with it. And don't spend your energy being worried or fearful or negative about the situation you're in. Use it to get excited and use that stress and that anticipation to get excited about the potential and what I could be doing. So that is how I've tried to shift my mindset away from, how am I going to earn money next month, which is one of my common issues, to like, okay, this is great. This is an opportunity to find out how I can contribute more and how I can actually add value more, because my value or my money and my income, to me, I want it to be dictated by the value I can provide. And so that's really important to me as well. On this journey, I'm not only trying to just find any work, I'm trying to find meaningful work. And so that's a part of what I'm doing as well, as transitioning my career and my job from something that previously hasn't made me feel that fulfilled to something that is really fulfilling, and trying to do that remote. So that's been an interesting challenge as well. Sorry, I feel like I've gone off on a massive tangent, but there's just so many different elements to what makes a trip like this possible. And even the girl I'm traveling with, Jess, who we live together back in the Mount, she's always worked remotely. And so for both of us to be in a stage where we're both able and willing to do something like this is actually really rare as well. So to have each other has been a massive advantage and a massive blessing, because it really does help. I'm realizing it really does help to talk to others about things. I've always been like super, not, I'm happy to ask for help, but I often struggle to release all of my feelings onto other people because I feel guilty, and that's something I'm trying to work through. Yeah, what I've realized recently is actually having her here and being able to release my feelings is a good thing, and it's really helpful.
I need a Jess, to be completely honest. Yeah. That sounds so cool. Mindset really is everything, is what I'm kind of hearing, and how important that is for you. When it comes to your money and these things, are there any kind of non-negotiables you have that you use now? Like I know you said, on your Bali trip, you know, things were totally different, and you know, spending through your emergency fund, been there, done that, dipping into tax money, been there, done that. It's so hard when you're a business owner, especially, and you've got, you know, an account and it's got your tax money sitting there looking at you, and especially if you've got no money elsewhere, when you know your business isn't doing well or whatever it is. I've been there and I've struggled through that. I started implementing new rules for myself that I had to follow, and it's so hard being, I don't know, like the CEO of your own life and being able to dictate those rules. What rules have you created for yourself, or non-negotiables do you have that help you with your money now?
Oh, this is a cool question. I like this. So I have financial foundations that I stick to, and I often talk about this on 1UP because I think before we start investing or trying to optimize our finances with points and rewards and all these extra things, we need to have our financial foundation set. And so for me, a couple of those foundations are things like having a clear goal and plan. When I set off on my trip last time to Bali, I didn't have really a goal. There was no why. There was no like, what am I doing here? So I got caught in this trap of, am I traveling or am I working? And then I was trying to do both, and I was doing neither great. And then as a result, I just felt terrible because I was like, well, I'm not making the most of my travels and I'm not making the most of work. So what am I doing here? Whereas this time I left with the intention that the priority is the lifestyle and the work and the career I can build. And traveling is the benefit of the lifestyle I'm trying to build. And so that's like a second priority. And so working and having a routine is the goal and the plan, in the sense of, we still do a Monday to Friday schedule most of the time. Of course, sometimes it doesn't always work. But with the luxury of being flexible within that if one day something comes up that we want to do, we can adjust our week for that. So That's a non-negotiable I have, is actually knowing why I'm doing what I'm doing, because otherwise nothing is clear, no decision is easy, and everything takes an emotional toll. The next thing is an emergency fund. It's an oldie but a goodie. I always like to have an emergency fund that is separate to the money I have for traveling, and it will always be separate. In the sense that I don't look at that as money that can be spent unless I need it to. And to be honest, the idea I have in my head of why I would use that money is for a flight home, like an emergency flight home, if I had to get home for whatever reason. That is what my emergency fund is for in my head. But of course, if something else came up, I would spend it on that. But that is how much money I like to have in there, is enough for a flight home from the other side of the world. So I know that no matter where I am, if I needed to get home in short notice, I can do it. So an emergency fund is really, really key in that sense as well. I think those are really the two main like non-negotiables, because other things I like to make sure is that I'm checking in with myself. I use my financial planner. I'm quite a practical person, so I like to use an Excel spreadsheet to organize my money, and always checking in on that. Being self-employed as well makes this kind of a non-negotiable anyway, because you often, depending on how you get paid, you're probably getting paid different amounts every month. And so you have to forecast out what you're going to get paid. You have to forecast out, can you afford bills for that month? Do you have to move some money from this month to the next month in order to compensate? Like, there's a lot of kind of working around in that sense that I do. So I like to forecast out a month, 2 months in advance to make sure I can actually live and exist. And then beyond that, that's when I start to think about investing. And my non-negotiable investment is KiwiSaver. I always make sure that I've put enough in to get the government, the maximum government contribution every year of $521 and what is it, 40 something cents or 21 cents, I think it is. And so if you're contributing just over $20 a week, you are going to hit that. And most people who work and have an average minimum wage salary should hit that anyway. But it's always good to just check just in case, because it's free money. If it's there, you may as well get it, get all you can get. And that's what I try to do. And then beyond that, with my investing, I also try to invest a little bit, as much as possible within my means that I can invest outside of KiwiSaver. And so at the moment I'm investing in the S&P Clean Energy Top 500, I think it is, with Kernel. And so that's been good as well, to just keep kind of that consistency going, that dollar cost averaging, you know, investing consistent amounts over time. But yeah, I think those are kind of the main things I'm trying to keep to at the moment.
Those are so helpful, and I'm so grateful for those. I've learned so much from hearing you talk today. So thank you so much for that. Before we wrap up, are there any final comments or words of wisdom that you want to share with the audience listening into today?
I would say that when you're looking at people's lives, say like mine, who are traveling and doing all of these things, know that of course reality is different to what appears online, but also that there's so much value in living a life where you're setting up your foundations, where you have a base, where you're settled, where you're like, you have a plan and you're working towards that. Like, sometimes boring is good. And I think it's really common that a lot of us can be living our lives and feel like, oh, you know, it's just the same old every day. I feel like I'm not getting anywhere or moving towards anything. But when you have a clear goal, that consistency over time is what is really going to propel you forward and help you really achieve your goals, whether they're financial freedom, whether they are travel, or whatever else. Consistency is everything. And I think Te Kahu Kura is the biggest example and inspiration of that for all of us, from so many different perspectives, especially myself. But I think that try your hardest not to get caught up in what it looks like other people are doing, and know that if you are happy with the goal that you have, then you are successful for being able to stick to that and be consistent in that. So yeah, I think that's what I would say. And also just thank you so much for having me as well. Like, love your voice, love your perspective, appreciate everything you do, and will forever be supporting you.
Oh, you're so awesome. I always love chatting to you. And whenever we do have our catch-ups, which we do need to catch up more, but whenever we do, I always leave them feeling uplifted and inspired. And I'm like, even listening to you today, I'm like, oh, this is so helpful. I especially loved your idea about having a why. Like, I've read the book Start With Why. Like, I get it. But hearing your perspective of that and knowing that you need to know what you're doing and actually have understanding that helps you do things better. And I'm going to implement that in my life. Like, why am I doing what I'm doing? Because sometimes I get lost and like, I, you know, I've obviously read the book, but I forget about these things. So, so helpful. Thank you so much for everyone listening in today. Like I said before, I need you guys to go follow Sarah on Instagram at The One Up Project so that you guys can stay up to date with her life and see more about her journey of her life, because it's so inspiring and it's so exciting, like, to watch. But also, you know, listen to what Sarah has shared today and know that, you know, it's not always we can't assume things, because, you know, I know I said it looks all fun and I know that, you know, parts of it are, but there are so many things that happen that, you know, we don't know about. And also to encourage you to listen to her podcast on Apple or Spotify or elsewhere. I'll put the link in the show notes below so you guys can go check out her episodes. They're awesome. And yeah, tēnei te mihi ki a koe. I'm so grateful for your time today. I know you have a busy day, busy life. So thank you so much for making the time to join us on the Māori Millennial Podcast. That's us for today, te whānau. Thank you so much.